This is El Puente Podcast with
Kim,
Dave,
and Michael.
Conversations at the intersection of race, sexuality, religion, politics, art, music, and everything in between.
We're stronger when we connect the POVs of POCs.
Oh, you poly people.
What?
No, I'm just teasing.
That's awesome. It's definitely better than what I did over the holidays.
Yeah. Well, that's not what I didn't do it over the holidays. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
We cannot play this.
Okay, I know.
Okay. Just
teasing.
Too
bad.
Turn off that timer,
Dave. That was juicy. Okay, we're recording now, so.
All right.
Wow. Well. That shall not be named, that we shall not put in the episode, was definitely better than what I did over the holidays.
Yeah, tell.
Oh, God, nothing of interest. I was doing homework.
Oh.
Let me tell you something. Being a 40-some-odd-year-old college kid again sucks. So, kids, get it done the first time. Get it done right so you don't have to go back to school.
Yes.
See, get it all done. Like, just keep going.
Yeah, I've been really thinking about doing the grad school thing lately.
Oh,
it's
kind
of freaking me out, but
I gotta get caught up.
I feel so old.
Time is precious.
Yeah,
it really is.
Especially when you ain't got enough of it.
Uh-huh.
So what about you, Mike? What did you do for the holidays?
So, Kim, you were up in the Dallas area. Dave, you were in
San Antonio.
And I was in Houston area. I went to see my mama. Stayed a whole week with her. Ate a whole week's worth of my mom's amazing cooking.
Oh, your mom is such a great cook.
So I literally have been going to the gym every single day this week. Today was day 7 in a row.
Damn, Gina.
Because, yeah, that food is that good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Deshacer some cosas that you did at your mom's
house. Trying to undo that a little bit.
Deshacer.
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 So hacer means to.
To do.
To do.
To do. And
this is the prefix
to not.
To, yeah. Undo. To undo.
He's trying to undo the work so that he can undo his pants.
Oh my gosh. Not that I can do my pants.
Oh, so you do your pants.
Yeah, I haven't undone my pants in a long time, but that's another story.
tell the listeners about some of the delicious dishes that your mom cooks.
Oh, she actually adapted to my veganism very early on.
Yeah.
Even before I was vegan, when I was just vegetarian, she would, made food. She wanted me to, she shows her affection through food. And
yes.
So she was like, damn it, I'm not going to let this stand in my way. But she makes the best tofu menudo.
Ooh,
oh, my gosh. Like, I have no willpower. And like, she makes like huge vats of it. She even sent one home with me.
I noticed that it wasn't in your fridge.
Oh God, no! That was gone by Tuesday. Literally.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow,
that's really good.
Yeah, and she makes the best enchiladas ever.
Oh, she does. I can attest to that.
Aren't those amazing?
She's really good at that.
Yeah.
One thing that she makes really good, I remember, she makes like this mac and cheese without actual cheese, but it has this. This consistency,
it's genius, isn't
consistency
it?
Consistency like it is actually mac and cheese.
And it tastes, and it's super simple too.
Okay.
So you you grate onion really fine and you saute it in margarine.
Uh-huh.
And then you, on the side, you're boiling the pasta. Always has to be the elbow pasta, by the way.
Elbow pasta, of course.
Then you put that in the saute and you saute it with the onions and margarine. Then you put tomato sauce and salt, and that's it.
Wow.
And somehow she works like some kind of brujeria, amazing magic over this pot that it turns into like vegan mac and cheese.
It does.
And it's delicious.
Wow. I haven't tasted this.
Oh, okay.
From your mother. I think your mom.
She made me some when I was there.
Chilaquiles.
Oh, chilaquiles, yeah.
Chilaquiles.
Yeah, that shit's good too.
That's my favorite of your mother.
She's such a good cook. I love it. That's awesome. Yeah, and of course, a lot has happened this week.
Yes.
Outside of our little circle.
Mm-hmm.
President Bush died.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Thoughts about that?
The first Bush.
The first Bush. 40, what was he?
41?
41-ish? Or was he?
No.
No, he was like.
Yeah, he was 41.
Was he 41?
Clinton was 42.
Okay.
his son
43
was 43,
Obama 44,
and now
Cheeto Face 45.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So 41 died. What was y'all's thoughts about that?
I mean, I thought it was a sad time. I mean, just because to me, anyone that represents that type of legacy and history, mm-hmm. you know,
are you going to feel that way when Cheeto dies?
Oh, absolutely not.
Well, see, some people would say that Bush won. Should not have been. A lot of people do, and I'm kind of there actually with it.
They say what? That he should not be lionized.
I think respected. Yes.
Yeah, respected
as a human being. Because yes, I will feel bad for the soul of fucking Cheeto when he dies. In addition to being happy for the world. But yeah, but like some are saying Bush won, you know, because of his complicity in the AIDS epidemic.
Absolutely.
And doing nothing for it, and how many
thousands
of people died on his watch.
That's so true.
Him and Reagan are very much guilty of that negligence. And that's part of their legacy, you know. But, you know, there's other positive things about his legacy, too. So I think that's why I think given what we're living through right now, people are looking back on those years as imperfect as they were, as like so much better than where we are right now. And there's a danger in that, in like glossing over some of the bad parts of legacy.
Oh,
which
yeah.
We would never do that here at this podcast.
No. Yes. No. Yes. No. So,
you're only going to get the truth from us.
Yeah. So this sounds like a really good time to slip into news mode.
Oh, yeah.
Well, pardon us while we go into the next room and slip into something more newsy.
In the news this week, the president of Grindr, Scott Chin, the gay hookup app, Grindr, made headlines this week with a viral post where he says he believes marriage is between a man and a woman. Chin, who joined Grindr after it was bought out by the Chinese company Beijing Kunlun Tech, wrote on Facebook, "There are people who believe that marriage is a holy matrimony between a man and a woman. I agree. But that's none of our business," unquote. People were quick to point out the apparent hypocrisy of the statement, but upon further inspection of the statement he posted, Chin seemed to be arguing that though he personally believes marriage is between a man and a woman, that those are just his personal beliefs, and gay people should still be allowed to believe what they believe. Says Chin, quote, "There are people who are simply different from you, who desperately want to get married. They have their own reasons. Getting married is a personal issue." Also this week in the news, Democratic Senator Kamala Harris announced that she is considering running for president for the 2020 election. According to Harris, she will make that final decision during this holiday season. Says Harris, quote, "It will ultimately be a family decision over the holiday. I will make that decision with my family," unquote. Harris has been a U.S. senator since 2016, when she made history as both the first African-American woman to represent California in the Senate and the first Indian-American senator in the country. Any takeaways from the stories for this week?
Well, can we work backwards?
Sure.
Work backwards.
Yeah, I am just so excited about the possibilities of Kamala Harris being president.
Snap, snap, snap.
Wow.
Yeah. Would that be amazing?
Oh my gosh.
Why do you feel that way?
I mean, first of all, she's such an intelligent, you know, well-rounded person. Mm-hmm. But then to think, too, that, you know, a black woman who really represents, the ultimate underdog. I mean, it would just say so much for so many people, and be such a great role model for our youth. I don't know. I hope that didn't sound racist, but
No, not at all. No, I know exactly what you mean. She is like the Obamas were symbols for people.
Yeah.
I mean, whether we like it or not, they are symbols of what can be. But I like the fact that she's just so intelligent.
Yeah.
Like, she's so on top of it.
Yeah.
Watching her grill those people on Capitol Hill.
Oh, that was brilliant. I mean, you could see her background in law.
And her,
And I think that's, I think we need that.
Yeah.
We need someone that can prosecute after Trump.
I
or prosecute Trump.
Exactly, yeah. I think Democrats are going to be looking for a candidate who can prosecute, not necessarily legally
of course, in court,
but they're looking for somebody who could literally stand on the stage with him and say, you have done X, Y, and Z over the past 4 years, and literally hold his feet to the fire, because no one has been able to do that yet.
You know, unlike all the candidates that were going up against Trump in the primaries, they all crumbled.
Because they didn't know how to respond to somebody who was just going to stand up on stage and act like a baby and whine and throw insults. Like, they were just, like, trying to play straight politician, and they were like, what do we do with this? You know what I mean? But what do you guys think about some of the other people who are rumored to run for president? What do you think about Beto running for president? Is it made harder by the fact that he, you know, didn't win the Senate election here in Texas? I mean, you can see that the Republican argument. It's like, well, how he can't even win in his home state. How?
Yeah.
Why would we elect a president? You know.
Yeah.
Well, the same was said of Cheeto. I'm sure by many Republicans.
Yeah,
that's true.
And he still took it.
Yeah.
A lot of people said Obama couldn't be elected because of his middle name and the color of his skin, he still won twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're so hopeful.
I'm telling you, so hopeful, Michael. I love it.
He is. Well, I love it. Well, we'll obviously keep you know, keep a look on who's running and bring you more news as we have it.
Yeah. I do have one last news story, though.
Okay.
Because we forgot to mention this on last week's episode.
Okay.
So we are drinking Union Mezcal.
Ooh.
Yes.
Union.
Union. And this is the one that I always drink.
Why I got a dirty vodka glass?
Oh. That's not a vodka glass.
I mean,
that's not a dirty glass. It's just the mezcal.
No. Here, you have mine. I'll drink this one.
So anyway, you were going to say what?
Yeah. So this is the one I always drink when I'm in Mexico.
Oh.
It's super affordable, but like good quality. Mm-hmm. It's tasty. Yeah, Union. And you said you guys use this in your moonlighting job, right?
We make a mezcal Negroni in our establishment, and I know that sounds weird to you guys, but it's actually delicious. It's mezcal, rum, Campari, and sweet vermouth.
Mm.
So basically, I got a Negroni.
We didn't even do a cheers yet. We're about to.
No, just making sure it was consumable.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm like the food taster for you two royals.
Yeah. So what are we clinking to?
No manners.
Oh, we're clinking to
hopefulness.
Hopefulness. Okay, I'll get to that. Clink.
Clink, 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 clink.
Yeah.
We continue now with What Exactly Do You Meme, where we find the bits and bobs across the internet, memes and tweets and everything in between, and we share them with you, because sharing is good.
If speaking kindly to plants helps them grow, imagine what speaking kindly to humans can do.
When you're Mexican, you can't just leave the house. You gotta clean something in exchange for your absence.
La soledad es peligrosa, es adictiva. Una vez que te das cuenta de cuánta paz hay en ella, no quieres lidiar con la gente. Carl Jung.
By Josh DIY. Stop being offended by everything, screams John, who gets instantly enraged when he sees the word feminist or vegan or trans or any other group of people he doesn't understand.
This from @girlfrombloopo. Dear Amazon, I bought a toilet seat because I needed one. Necessity, not desire. I do not collect them. I am not a toilet seat addict. No matter how temptingly you email me, I'm not going to think, oh, go on then. Just one more toilet seat. I'll treat myself.
From @Sir Eviscerate. Her, did you eat my milk duds? Me, silently chews for 7 minutes, finally swallows. First of all, I don't appreciate your accusations.
I'd much rather live next door to someone who crossed the desert to become an American than an American who wouldn't cross the street to help a foreigner.
From Sparf. I keep thinking about the tribe of baboons where all the alpha males died from eating poison garbage, and then the baby boy monkeys were taken care of by the lady monkeys and never got socialized to be aggressive, so they all just lived peacefully and groom each other instead of fighting and killing each other, and it's been generations of that. It only took one wipeout of the aggressive males to change the whole social order of a species. I am crying. They must be so much happier.
From @Solomon Giorgio. Bush was so bad, we got to elect our first black president. After Trump, our president will be a 50-foot-tall, militant, feminist, lesbian, Latina.
@TheFakeCarmona. LOL, someone asked me why I still had my Beto sticker on my laptop, even though he lost 2 days ago. IDK, why do people have the Confederate flag still? They lost 150 years ago.
Nobody says, wow, longer than a guy who's been accused of something he did.
From at Helen Prejean, two Harris County judges accounted for more than one-fifth of all children sent to state prisons in Texas last year. Nearly all of the teens sent into prisons by the judges, 96%, were children of color.
That's it for What Exactly Do You Meme? If you have any tweets or memes or anything in between that you'd like to share with us, please send them to our Facebook, our Twitter, Instagram, or you can email us at bocamadremedia@gmail.com.
Real History Has Shades and Curves, a segment where we talk about those people who didn't always make it into the history books, but we are talking about them now.
Today, we celebrate the work of a true hero who was recently featured in an article by Out.com, Ruth Coker Burks, who, in the early 1980s, at the very beginning of the AIDS epidemic, cared for hundreds of dying HIV-infected people, many of them gay men, who had been abandoned by their families. According to Out.com, Burks estimates she worked with more than 1,000 people dying of AIDS over the years. Of those, she said, only a handful of the families didn't turn their backs on their loved ones. Burks was truly a pioneer who helped dismantle the myths and prejudices from the early days of the epidemic. She would later go on to serve as a White House consultant on AIDS education when Bill Clinton was elected president. Still, in 2013, she continued her HIV/AIDS advocacy when three foster children were removed from an elementary school in Pea Ridge after administrators heard that one of them might be HIV positive. Said Burks at the time, she couldn't believe she was still dealing with the same knee-jerk fears in the 21st century. You can, of course, read all about this amazing advocate at out.com at the link provided. And I think you will be quite impressed by her story.
Yeah, she's amazing. It's, you know, she's one of those people that it's amazing she's not in the history book. Because, I mean, that's such an important period of history. Even if you don't care about gay people, like you racist people who are probably not even listening to this. I mean, not racist. To those of you bigots who are out there listening to this, if there's anyone listening to it, just the fact that the American population dropped significantly during a period of time because of a disease. Wow. If you're going to look at it that way, if you're that callous, that is still such a huge thing. And this woman used compassion and caring to make a difference in the world. We need those examples out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a very powerful story in the article, and I urge all of you guys to read this this article by Out. There's a story in there where it kind of talks about her first time with an HIV-infected patient. She's in this hospital. There's a gaggle of nurses outside of this dying man's room. And they're drawing straws to see who will go in there.
That is just horrendous.
To handle, you know, keep in mind at this time, we didn't know anything about it. I mean, it hadn't been called AIDS yet, right?
They didn't know if it was airborne.
They had no idea. Yeah. But still, you had, you know, that was what was going on. And she was in this hospital and she decided to sneak into this man's room. And she was just trying to talk to him and console him. And he was in such a bad state, he was literally saying, you know, Mom, it's you. I knew you would come after all. You know, she was just consoling him until he had his last breaths.
Wow.
And that was the thing that set her on this journey of caring for thousands. I mean, it makes me cry just thinking about it right now.
Yeah.
What an amazing person.
That's what humanity is.
Yes.
Yeah. Today on No Ma'am, we're going to be talking about Mississippi Goddamn, as Nina Simone said.
Yes.
Mississippi Goddamn.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the last open contests from the midterm elections was decided this last week. And
And it went as you would expect it to go.
In Mississippi.
In Mississippi. Let me give the people the details. We're talking, of course, about the Senate candidate, Cindy Hyde-Smith. You may remember Cindy Hyde-Smith, who, of course, famously joked about attending a hypothetical public hanging on the campaign trail in early November. Well, she beat Democrat Mike Espy to become the first woman elected to represent the state in the U.S. Senate. Although, of course, she later apologized, the controversy continued to linger as more revelations about her past came to the front. Like, for example, the fact that she attended a segregated school. And also, as an adult, insisted that her daughter attend a segregated school as well. There's also the pictures of her dressed in Confederate memorabilia that were made online, as well as, shall we say, statements very supportive of Confederates throughout history.
Yep.
Eventually, all this controversy led to many businesses like Walmart, Google, AT&T, Leidos, Union Pacific, and the Major League Baseball Association to ask for campaign contributions to be returned from Hyde-Smith. Hyde-Smith, of course, won the election by about 68,000 votes, which is fewer than any Republican has ever won in Mississippi in recent memory. So, although this is definitely a no ma'am segment because Mississippi...
Goddamn.
What are you doing? Why are you electing people like this? But there is a silver lining, right?
All right. I mean, she's still in there. Well, it is
because at least, you know, the votes were a lot lower. That shows that people really didn't even get behind her.
Yeah.
As much.
Yeah.
I don't know.
As they had.
I usually do.
Think about how hard it is in Mississippi for Democrats to compete. You know, it's like many places in the South.
But it wasn't because the Democrats had a candidate who was like going to win. Uh-huh. It's because theirs was such a fuck up.
Well, that wouldn't be the first time that we've seen that.
I know, but she's still in there.
Yeah, but she still won. And
doesn't mean it's going to be this close next time if they have a different person instead of her.
Yeah. This week in the clapback heard around the world, Michael tells us about an epic clapback from a comedian we all know and love.
Oh, yes. You can file this clapback under Third Degree Burn after it was announced by the organization that handles the White House Correspondents' Dinner on Twitter that it would not be hosting a comedian this year. Y'all's president and bully-in-chief took to Twitter to do some expected crowing, as you know he would. Said Orange Cheeto Face, so-called comedian Michelle Wolf bombed so badly last year at the White House Correspondents' Dinner that this year, for the first time in decades, they will have an author instead of a comedian. Good first step in comeback of a dying evening and tradition. Maybe I will go. So that's what Cheeto said. He's the most insecure piece
he's
of shit ever.
He's a chicken. Yeah. There's no reason why he's orange.
Are y'all fans of Michelle?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm disappointed her show didn't take off on Netflix. It got canceled after one season.
Canceled.
Yeah.
I should have watched it. Sorry, Michelle. But I love her.
Yeah.
I love what she did last year at the Correspondents' Dinner.
Oh, she kicked his ass. It was amazing.
Yeah. We actually have a little bit of audio of from last year's performance. Check this out. This is hilarious.
And just a reminder to everyone, I'm here to make jokes. I have no agenda. I'm not trying to get anything accomplished. So everyone that's here from Congress, you should feel right at home. Here, if you haven't noticed, he's not here. And I know I would drag him here myself, but it turns out the President of the United States is the one pussy you're not allowed to grab. He said it first. Yeah, he did. You remember? Good. And of course, we have Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I actually really like Sarah. I think she's very resourceful. Like, she burns facts. And then she uses that ash to create a perfect smoky eye. Like, maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's lies. It's probably lies.
Oh, Michelle. We love you, girl.
She's so great.
Yeah, she let him have it last year. She did. So you can see why Orange Cheeto Face was obviously upset.
Yes.
What did he say in that tweet? He was like, first of all, he name dropped her.
Yeah.
So-called comedian Michelle Wolf bombed so badly last year.
Don't do the voice.
Yeah. I mean, he always goes personal, you know. Yeah.
He really is. So and such petty. A baby.
And petty.
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 Yeah, and he's like, maybe I'll go this year now that they're not going to have a comedian.
The really great thing is that she saw that. And she responded, of course.
She responded, darling. What did she say?
Okay, she says, I bet you'd be on my side if I had killed a journalist. Hashtag be best.
Ow.
Yes.
Sting, mama, sting. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see the handshake between Vladimir Putin and the leader of the Saudis the other day at that summit?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was so weird. It was like, I get away with murder and you get away with murder. It was like romance between murderous dictator handshake. And you have to see it. If you haven't seen it, look it up on the internet. It's like creepy.
It's twisted.
It's gross.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that happened, you know, and Trump is standing over here like basically giving excuses to the murdering of an innocent journalist.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, she...
That's why this burn is so good.
It's amazing.
That's why this
thing,
because...
And then, of course, ending the tweet with Melania's, you know, ridiculous, be best.
Be best.
Hashtag.
Uh-huh. Just a little icing on that.
Of course.
That clap back cake.
That is what a comedian does. Yeah. They craft things like that perfectly.
Cheeto Face, learn the lesson. Do not come for comedians.
No.
Like, just, and you always try, don't do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It's like the fucking weakling in high school who goes up and, like, says bullshit to, like, the football team quarterback. You know? It's like, you're going to get your ass handed to you.
You know you're going to get your ass handed to you. Mm-hmm. Just sit down with your Twitter thumbs and just tweet these politicians who don't know how to clap back, okay? Because Michelle had your number, bitch.
Well, as you may have noticed, we're changing up the format of the show a little bit so that we can bring you two episodes a week.
Two for the price of one.
Mm-hmm. We're splitting up things. And so we're going to end this shorter episode today with an SOSOSO, where we focus on something positive to kind of end on a good note. And speaking of notes, our resident musician extraordinaire, Kim. Tell us about this week's SOSOSO.
In this week's SOSOSO, we'd like you to meet Claudia Bivens, an African-American mom, activist, and a voter in Mississippi. In the last runoff election, Bivens decided to wear a Confederate flag around her shoulders and noose around her neck to the polling location. According to Bivens, she wanted to teach her grandson, who had just finished a school assignment, about why voting is important, an important lesson about the importance of voting and the sacrifices African Americans have had to make to exercise that very important right. After the vote, Bivens and her grandson paid a visit to the grave of a local civil rights hero, Vernon Dahmer, a civil rights activist killed by the Ku Klux Klan for organizing voter registration for African Americans, where she laid the flag on the ground. Wow.
Mm.
That is
It's almost
powerful.
Like performance art.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know what actually came to my mind even before that, and that's what's funny considering I do performance art, mm-hmm. is, and I can't think of her name right now, but the woman who climbed up the flagpole and took down the Confederate flag.
Absolutely.
That's what came to mind.
Yeah.
It's almost like this is the next stage. It's like, first you take down the flag, then you use it as a tool to teach what it has done to people.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, who's going to do the next thing with this
and
damn
then
flag?
And she does civil disobedience because mm-hmm. she puts the flag on the ground. You're never supposed to let the flag touch the ground.
True.
Shit. Makes me want to like take the flag and like wipe my ass with it in public and then like fucking throw it or something.
And of course, we're speaking of the Confederate flag.
FBI listening.
We're speaking of the Confederate flag here.
Yeah. Now, you know, I don't know how I feel about the Confederate flag, but we might need to delve into that conversation at a later episode, you guys.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
That symbol is crazy.
Yep.
And we need to talk about it.
Yep.
Here at El Puente podcast.
Well, Bivens, when she laid the flag down, said that she told her grandson that it represents our hope that racism and hatred would die. I think it's awesome. We have this mom who recognizes how important voting is.
Yes.
And is teaching this very thoughtful lesson in a creative way.
Yeah. Thought-provoking.
It's passionate, it's artistic, but it's also...
It's bold and striking.
Yeah, it's also done in an activist way.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Thank you so much.
She's definitely this week's SOSOSO. Mm-hmm. There should be more moms and dads out there who are trying to teach those lessons to their children to find ways to impart those very important lessons.
Yep. Make the world a better place for other people.
Thanks again for listening to El Puente Podcast, an intersectional conversation where all our voices can meet.
Don't just sit there. Stand up. Don't just listen. Join the conversation.
On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or you can email us at bocamadremedia@gmail.com.
After Trump, our president will be a 50-foot-tall mutant feminist Latina lesbian.
Mutant.
What'd I say?
Mutant.
Oh. Okay. Let me read that again.